I'm thankful to be here this evening and participate in this open Bible study. I'm thankful for Mr. Anthony Watts, who has agreed to participate in this study with us. Tonight I have two basic questions that I'm asking. Number one, is there only one true church? And if so, does a person have to be a member of that church in order to be a saved Christian? I believe the answer to these two questions is yes. I'm going to try to present some material that I believe proves the answer is yes, but ultimately you are going to be the judge. You're going to have to decide for yourself, did George present scripture that really proves his point? So that's what I'm going to try to do tonight. First thing I want to say is that this is not a gloating session. I don't want this to turn into a session where it sounds like I'm saying, nah, 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 me and my church are better than you and your church. And if I sound that way, I apologize. I don't mean it to sound like that. I don't want it to devolve into that. But also, this study is out of concern, because if the Bible truly does teach there is only one true church, that would be something you need to know, and you would want to know that. And so that's why I'm presenting this material tonight, is out of concern. Right, let me begin by saying I'm not going to appeal to majority vote, because how the majority of people feel, that doesn't prove whether something is true or not. So if we go by majority vote, I've already lost, because majority of people are against the idea of only one church. Instead, I want to appeal to the Scriptures, because Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." And so the word of God constitutes all truth in religious matters. And I want to appeal to what the Scriptures say. So let me offer my first piece of evidence. I wanted to begin by basically defining what is the church. The church, the word church is translated from this Greek word ekklesia, and it means called out from. Ekklesia is actually a compound word with a prefix and a root. The prefix ek means out of, and the root klesia means to be called. When you put these two together, the word church literally means the called out. Secondly, that brings up point number two. The church's people is not this building. This building is not the church of Christ, but rather people are the church of Christ. So people who are called out from the world and into a body of fellow believers, that's the Lord's church. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 14, the Bible says, "He called you by our gospel." This tells us how God calls people. He does it through the Word of God. He doesn't do it mysteriously. He doesn't call people through dreams and visions anymore. He calls people through the words of the gospel. And when we hear the gospel, we're hearing the voice of God call to us. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness," there it is, "into His marvelous light." Here's the called out. There's the church. And the church that has been called out are His own special people, a chosen generation, a holy nation. And so the people called out from darkness into His marvelous light, that is the church of God, His own special chosen people. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, the Bible says, "We are members one of another." So we have been called out of darkness, and we have been called into a body of fellow believers where we are members one of another. That's the church of Jesus Christ. Number three, Jesus promised to build or establish only one such called out body or church. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said, "I will build my church." You'll notice church is singular there, and that's significant. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, God has put all things under Jesus' feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body. You'll notice that church here is singular, and that the church is the Lord's body. Now that's in chapter 1. I go down to chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says there is one body. So when I put this information together, the church is His body and there's one body, I draw the conclusion there's only one church acceptable to the Lord. That's why I'm drawing my conclusion. Now you may have to go home and think about that. You may not have realized this before, but that's why I'm drawing the conclusion there's only one true acceptable church with the Lord. So, number four, the Lord Himself added people to this one called out body when they believed in Him enough to be baptized for the remission of sins. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36, Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost. He said, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you've crucified, both Lord and Christ." When he told the people to know assuredly, he was telling them to believe in Jesus Christ with all their heart. But what else did he say? Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." For the remission of sins means for the forgiveness of sins. They were supposed to believe, repent, and be baptized in water for the remission of sins. Did anybody do that? In verse 41, those who gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. All right, here's some people that are being baptized, and they're being added to something. Who is doing the adding, and to what were people being added? The answer is found in verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. So the Lord is the one that adds people to his church. He personally does this. All right, number 5. I want you to notice that no saved person was ever left out of that church. And number 6, no unsaved person was ever put into that church. Look at these two verses again, side by side. You'll notice in verse 41, those baptized corresponds with verse 47, those who were being saved. And when you see those two verses together, you can see that the ones being saved are the ones being baptized. So you have to be baptized in order to be saved. Then, when verse 41 says they were added to them, that corresponds with verse 47, the Lord added to the church. So when I put this together, I see that those who were being saved were the ones being baptized. And when they believed enough to be baptized, they were added to the church by the Lord himself. No saved person got left out and no unsaved person got put in. Let this circle represent the body of Christ now. And when someone believed enough to repent of their sins, confess Christ, and be baptized for the remission of their sins, then the Lord added these people to his one body, the church. So the church then contains all saved people. Everybody that got saved was put in there. But what about unbaptized people? People that did not get baptized for the remission of sins, were they added? No, they were never added. There's no scripture showing that they were added by the Lord to the church. Number 7, this body or this church was purchased by the blood of the Lord. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Jesus or the apostles told the elders of the church, "Shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29, "Husbands, love your wife, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." So the Lord purchased the church with his blood. The church was purchased by the blood of Christ. And if one can be saved without the church, then Jesus wasted his blood. Doesn't that make sense? Isn't that the logical conclusion? If the Lord purchased the church with his blood, but you don't have to have the church to be saved, then the Lord wasted his blood, shedding his blood for something that wasn't necessary. In Ephesians 5:23, the husband is the head of wife, just as Christ is head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. According to this, if you want the Lord to be your Savior, if you want to be a saved Christian, you have to be in the body because he is the Savior of the body. So I've drawn the conclusion now that there is only one church and saved Christians are only in the Lord's one church. All right, number 8, this body or this church is founded on the teachings of Christ. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church." Now what is that rock right there that the Lord promised to build his church on top of? I learned the answer from Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. The Bible says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation." A stone is a rock. So here's the rock that is for a foundation. A tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. There is the foundation of the church. That's a reference to Jesus Christ. I know that for sure because Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, tells me that this prophecy refers to Jesus. So Jesus is the foundation of the church. If there were still any doubt about Jesus being the foundation of the church, all doubt is removed when I get to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. The Bible says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than what is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church. In Ephesians 2, verse 19, "Now therefore you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." So the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, but Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Now what does it mean that Jesus is the foundation of the church? Well, it means that the church is built on the teachings of Jesus. Teaching means doctrine, and that's why doctrine is important. Doctrine is what we believe, and what we believe determines how we behave or how we act. That's why doctrine is important, and the church is built on the doctrine of Christ. Now, how much doctrine do we have to submit to in order to claim to be the Lord's church? What about 50%? Suppose a group says, "We're going to accept half of what the Lord stood for." Could that be the Lord's church? What about 75%? If a church accepted 75% of what the Lord taught and stood for, that means they're rejecting 25% of what the Lord said. Can a group of people reject 25% of what Jesus stood for and still claim to be the Lord's church? What about 99%? What if there's a group that said, "We accept everything the Lord stood for, everything He taught, everything He commanded, but one thing. And that one thing, we refuse to submit to that. We refuse to accept that." Could that be the Lord's body, His church that He died for? Oh no. To be the Lord's church, the body has to accept 100% of everything Jesus taught and stood for. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, Jesus said, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine," there's the doctrine of Christ, "and does them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house on the rock." There's the rock. Jesus said, "I'll build my church on a rock." He is the rock. And that means that the church is built on the sayings or the teachings of Jesus, His doctrine. So whoever hears these sayings and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So the church that's built on the rock is the church that does what Jesus said in everything. Now, the Apostle John would word it like this in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. "Now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He who says, 'I know Him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him." The church that is the Lord's church is the church that's built on His teachings. Number 9, the apostles taught the same doctrine of Christ everywhere they went. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, the Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Why? Because the church is built on the apostles and prophets, Jesus being the chief cornerstone. And so they continued in the apostles' doctrine. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17, "For this reason, I sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ, which I teach everywhere in every church." So the apostles taught the same doctrine everywhere they went. Number 10, a curse was placed on anyone who would teach any other doctrine. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." Why such a severe curse placed on somebody teaching a different doctrine? Because a different doctrine is attacking the foundation of the Lord's church. Number 11. Since every church was organized by the same doctrine, then every congregation believed the same thing and practiced the same thing. Doesn't that make sense? If each group of people was taught the same thing, then they would believe the same thing. They would all be identical to one another. In Luke chapter 8, verse 11, the Bible says, "The seed is the Word of God." So the seed that produces the Lord's church is the Word of God. Now, I learned something about seeds in Genesis chapter 1. The Bible says seed brings forth after its kind. So if you have a corn seed and you plant it, you will get only a corn plant. If you have a wheat seed and you plant it, you'll only get a wheat plant. Seeds reproduce after their kind. So if you show me a squash plant, I know you didn't plant a corn seed, because if you had planted a corn seed, a corn plant would be growing up, not squash. If you show me an okra plant, you didn't plant wheat, because wheat seed cannot produce okra. I know you used different seed besides wheat to get that okra plant. Well, the Bible says that the seed is the Word of God. That's what produces the Lord's church. The church is built on the teachings of Jesus. And seed reproduces after its own kind. So if the pure seed of Jesus Christ, if His pure teachings are taught, then you're going to get only the original church that Jesus built. Why do we have different churches then in the world? It's because different seed is being planted. It's coming, those different churches are coming from different seed than the pure Word of God, because the pure Word of God can produce only one church. Now, number 12, the members of the church were strictly forbidden to divide the church into different denominations. Did you know that? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, the Bible says, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you. Now, denominations are divisions. And so this is really saying there should be no denominations among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So they were forbidden to have divisions among them. Number 13, those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine of Christ are to be marked and avoided. In Romans 16, verse 17, I urge you, brethren. See, this is urgent. I urge you, brethren. Mark those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Why such severe penalty and discipline on someone who teaches a different doctrine? Why? Because that is attacking the very foundation of the church of Jesus Christ Himself. The church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Himself being the chief cornerstone. And when someone teaches a different doctrine, they're attacking the foundation of the Lord's church. Number 14, the one church of Christ will always exist because it's produced by a seed, the Word of God. Now remember, in Luke 8 and verse 11, the Bible says the seed is the Word of God. That's the seed that produced the Lord's church. And Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So, since the Word of God is the seed that produces the Lord's church, and since the Word of God cannot be destroyed, the church cannot be destroyed. The church will always exist, at least in seed form. And when that seed is planted, it brings forth a plant identical to the original. Number 15, any church that was not founded by the Lord Jesus Christ shall be uprooted. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 13, Jesus answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be uprooted. Let them alone. They're blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Here are some leaders, and they are planting different seed than the pure seed of the Lord. And the Bible says it's bringing up plants that the Heavenly Father didn't plant. And the Bible says they will be uprooted. Why are there different churches? Because there's different seed being planted. You plant one seed, you're going to get one church. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 24, another parable Jesus put forth to them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? Now I want you to think about the questions these guys are asking in verse 27. They said, how can there be tares? Why are they asking that question? Because they know if you planted pure seed, you won't have different kinds of plants. They know that seed reproduces according to its kind. And since there are different plants besides just the wheat, these servants know different seed has been planted. In verse 28, he said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. But let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first, gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. And so these tares that came from different seed, the Bible says that the Father, every plant that the Father did not plant is going to be uprooted. And this says they're going to be bound together and they're going to be burned. And the only plant that's going to survive is the plant that comes from the pure seed, the wheat. And that's going to be gathered into the Lord's barn or into heaven. Now, we have different seed being planted today. That's why we have different churches in our country and in the world. What are some of the different seeds that are being planted today in our day and time? Well, here is a seed that's different from the Lord's pure seed, and that is salvation is by faith only. When someone teaches salvation by faith only, they're planting a seed that the Lord never planted. Now, what does the Scripture say? In Romans chapter 4, verse 3, the Bible says, what does the Scripture say? That's a good question. That's a question we should ask very often. Here's what the Scripture says. In James 2, verse 24, you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Well, in Mark 16:16, Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. So we are not saved by faith only, but there are churches teaching salvation by faith only. They're planting different seeds, and they therefore different churches result. There's a different seed called salvation without baptism. This is where people tell sinners to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Say the sinner's prayer. This is a different seed than what the Lord taught. What does the Scripture say? Scripture says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now that's, everybody can agree on that, but how do you call on the name of the Lord? In Acts 22 and verse 16, and now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You see, you call on the name of the Lord when you get baptized. And so teaching salvation without baptism is a different seed, and it produces different churches. There's a different seed called once saved, always saved. And that produces different churches from the Lord's church. What does the Scripture say though? Once you're saved, are you always saved? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, this is Jesus. The church is built on the apostles and prophets, Jesus being the chief cornerstone. He said, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Jesus is teaching here that a disciple can lose his salvation by disobedience. Next, there's a different seed called the kingdom of God has not yet come, but will soon come. Well, that's a different seed than what the Lord and His apostles taught. What does the Scripture say? The Scripture says in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, I will build my church. And then the very next verse He says, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. You see, the church is the kingdom of heaven. The church is the Lord's kingdom, and the church did come. And people are waiting for some kingdom to come on this earth that never will come. The kingdom of the Lord has already come, and it has come in the form of the church. Here's a different seed that is being planted. Women can be installed in leadership positions, and that's resulting in a church different than the Lord's church. What does the Scripture say? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34 and 35, let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in the church. So this is the original seed, but we have different churches that are coming from different seed. The reason some churches have women speakers is because they're planting a different seed. Here's another seed, tampering with the communion. And I'm talking about when and how often the communion should be observed. Some churches have communion once a month, some once a year, once a quarter. Some offered at funerals, at weddings, on Christmas Eve under a candlelight service. Is this right? Does the Bible teach this? What does the Scripture say? The Bible says in Acts 20 and verse 7, on the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. This is what the original seed requires. This is what, if you preach the pure seed of the kingdom, this is what you'll get. Well, here's a different seed, tampering with the communion, how to observe it. Some churches have a plurality of loaves. They have a broken loaf. They have a plurality of drinking vessels. They use fermented wine in that drinking vessel. But what does the Scripture say? The Scripture says there's to be one unbroken loaf, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. There's to be unfermented grape juice inside that cup, Matthew chapter 26. And there's to be one cup that everybody shares together. Well, there is the seed of tampering with the music of the church. Churches have choirs, special singing groups. They have instrumental music. But what does the Scripture say? The Scripture says in Ephesians 5 and verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The word sing means make music with your voice. Now, there is no authorization by the Lord or His apostles. The church is built on the apostles and prophets, Jesus being chief cornerstone. They taught the church to sing, but they never taught the church to use mechanical instruments. And that's why we have different churches. Different seed is being planted. Well, this is just a short list of some of the different seeds that have been planted, and it helps us to understand how we have so many different churches in the world today. Now, in conclusion, I've been trying to prove this point, that there are not saved Christians in many churches, but that the Lord has only one church, and there are saved Christians only in the Lord's church. That's what I've been trying to teach. Now, let me offer this passage in closing. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says, "For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation." God has made the Jews and the Gentiles one. He didn't want one church for Jews and a different church for Gentiles. He wanted one church for everybody. So this teaches one church. That's why I'm drawing the conclusion that there is only one church. But verse 15 says, "Having abolished in His flesh the enmity," that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, "so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace." There's one new man, one church. Verse 16, "that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity." Notice this. We are reconciled to God in one body. Now, that's why I'm saying there's one church, there's one body, and you have to be in that church in order to be saved, because we are reconciled to God in that one body. So therefore, there are not saved Christians in many churches. According to the Bible, the Lord has only one church, and there are saved Christians only in the Lord's church. Thanks for listening to this. I realize that a lot of what I said may be new to you. You're going to have to go home and think about it for a while and ponder on it. But we're going to give you a little booklet that has all of these scriptures that I used in it. And I want you to take this home, think about it, and ponder on it. If you find it to be true, I invite you to obey the gospel and be added to the Lord's church. Thank you for your attention.